Blog Talk Radio.
Blue skies smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I see. Blue birds singing a song. Nothing but blue skies from now on. I never saw the sun shining so bright. Never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, my, how they fly by. Days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on. Blue skies do I see. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on. Blue skies smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I see. Days all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on. Blue skies smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I. Blue days, all them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on.
Now, wouldn't that be nice? Hey, everybody, welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. Hope everyone's having a great week so far, and I hope you have a better week to follow. And tonight we have with us so far Pam Ray and Naomi. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
Hello.
Hello.
How are you both doing?
Good, good. And you,
awesome. Pam? Oh, I am doing great. You know, I love me some Willie Nelson singing about blue skies. You know,
Yeah.
Puts me in a good mood and makes me smile. another song I thought of doing was the version of the Lemon Tree. Sung by the Mamas and the Papas.
Oh, I love that song. I play it like all day long, and everybody around me just goes, "Are you gonna turn that darn song off?"
Oh, that's funny. I will have to, you know what, I will have to, just for the heck of it, sometime on a Tuesday, I am going to have to make sure that that's going to be our intro song.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. So, Pam, tell us about this wonderful farm store tonight.
Yes. I ran across this artwork of Lucy Grossmith. Beautiful stuff. She has kind of a, almost like a Grandma Moses. I forget. What is that style called? Where it's kind of simple and, you know, but anyways, she
nice.
What's that?
Nice.
No.
Well, no,
I'm not sure if you're saying a French word or an English word. Anyway.
I know there's naive art out there, but maybe it's not that style.
No, it's not. There's a specific style that I'm thinking of that I can't remember. So, but I'll skip off that part. So I came across this artwork, which is absolutely beautiful. And we didn't have like a huge response in the contest, but that happened. But we got quality. And that's, you know, what really matters. And we definitely got enough for a full show. So, but anyway, Lucy Grossmith is an artist from rural Suffolk, England, which is a coastal town. I put a link to her website, which is called hearttoart.com, on the contest. People can go there and check it out. They can learn more about her artwork, about the area she lives in. I highly recommend that. She's influenced very much, and you can see this in her painting. She uses a lot of soft colors, and she's very much influenced by the nature, the animals, and the region that she lives in. So some of her paintings are about it can be a backyard or a pathway or a garden, but then other ones are like the sailboats and on the coast itself and the mountain ranges. She likes to, as she says in her website, she likes to paint wild birds, animals, countryside, and coastal scenery, along with gardens, old buildings, and little bits of country life. And she says, "My paintings are a magical interpretation of what I've seen mixed in with happy thoughts about a place, illustrating special moments in time. My aim is to inspire others, create a feeling of warmth, and capture the imagination too." And another nice thing about the website, which I don't know if we actually have any listeners that are from the Suffolk area. I'm probably totally butchering the name of that town. But she has a link to the Suffolk Wildlife Trust Fund, which is a charity that helps to safeguard Suffolk's wildlife and countryside. And one of the things that they're working on right now is getting osprey back into the coastal area of Suffolk. So you can definitely tell between her artwork and the fact that that's a program she decided to represent, that she truly has a love for animals. That was it. It's actually folk art. That's what I was thinking. I think folk art. Yeah, it has a kind of a slightly folk art type feeling. Not Suffolk art, but folk art.
Suffolk is the place she comes from, is it?
It is, yes. It's in England.
Yeah.
It is the place she comes from. Yes. And, Jean, did we happen to have anybody sneak in while I was yakking away?
Yes, we did. We have Katie on board. Hello, Katie. How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, thank you. Hello, peoples.
Oh, honey, you're so
sweet. Glad you could join us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hi, Katie.
Hello, darling.
Okay. Kate, I need you to check your microphone volume, please. You're really soft. Like, I can barely hear you. Less than death.
How's that? How's that?
No, same. No.
How's that?
No.
No, that's worse.
Worse? Oh,
yeah, it's worse.
Okay, give me a couple of seconds. I've got another one I can use.
Okay, there you sound better.
Okay, does that sound better now?
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
Better.
Bad connection. Ah. Always wanted a bad connection. Bad. Okay, how's that?
Yeah.
Well, just tell me if I get soft again, will you please, and I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think since it sounds like everybody's loud and clear, we can go ahead and get the show started. And I'm going to have us start the show with a classic poem called Spring Quiet by Christina Georgina Rossetti. And our good friend Stelina was nice enough to make a SoundCloud of this for us.
Spring Quiet by Christina Rossetti. Gone were but the winter, come were but the spring, I would go to a covert where the birds sing, where in the white thorn singeth a thrush, and a robin sings in the holly bush. Full of fresh scents are the budding boughs, arching high over a cool greenhouse. Full of sweet scents and whispering air, which saith softly, we spread no snare. Here dwell in safety, here dwell alone, with a clear stream and a mossy stone. Here the sun shineth most shadily. Here is heard an echo of the far sea, though far off it be.
Hello?
Sorry about that. I just had to find my mute button. So wonderful. I have to say thank you, two thank yous. First of all, thank you to Stelina for making that recording with the beautiful background music. And thank you to her sister, Silvana, who was actually the one that chose that classic poem for tonight. So thank you to both you lovely ladies. I truly appreciate you. I thought this was a perfect poem to start this show out with. And Naomi, your thoughts on this classic poem?
Yeah, well, first of all, wow, what an excellent, excellent choice, my gracious. And, you know, what a beautiful SoundCloud. I always hear that music, and I always wonder what it is. What is that? That I don't know if any of you know what that is there, that music in the background.
Well,
but I always
know.
Yeah, maybe she'll write it on the board. But, you know, what a beautiful, you know, full of fresh scents are the budding boughs, arching high over a cool greenhouse, full of sweet scents and whispering air, which saith softly, we spread no snare. Yeah, you know, what a beautiful rhythm, you know, rhythm and rhyme throughout. And, you know, a beautiful classic poem to go along with the art tonight. Such a wonderful, wonderful choice. Beautiful, beautiful poem.
It truly is. It truly is. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. She says that the song is called Morning by Grieg, from Peer Gynt.
Oh,
so, there you go.
There I go.
And Weaver, your thoughts on this beautiful poem?
Oh, yes, this is one I've heard quite a lot. And the music as well, of course, I know that. But I did not know the name of it. That's good to know. I thought this was absolutely lovely. Selena, you did a beautiful SoundCloud on that. Absolutely lovely. I like particularly Full of Sweet Scents and Whispering Air, which saith softly, we spread no snare. That's nice. They know they're safe. It's a lovely feeling to have, you know, that kind of thing in your garden. I have a robin that comes and sits on my fence every time I'm in the kitchen. And we had baby hedgehogs in the garden last year, which was wonderful. So, yes, it's a lovely thing going from winter to spring. And that's a perfect piece of music to start the show with, I think.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. You know, I think between the intro song and this poem and the music put in the background of this poem and the artwork itself, it's like, you know, since March 21st is the first day of spring, right? Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And so it's like between the artwork and this poem, we're celebrating the first day of spring. And Christina Rossetti has actually always been one of my favorite classic poets, and a beautiful rhyming poet, wonderful love for nature and spirituality within her writing. And I do like how she brings in not only the imagery, but the sound and the scent, you know, full of sweet scents and whispering air, which saith softly, we spread no snare. Here dwell in safety, here dwell alone, with a clear stream and a mossy stone. Wonderful lines, beautifully written and very well done. You know, so I can't imagine Christina Rossetti is up in heaven needing me to say very well done, but, you know, you just never know.
Maybe she's a fan of the show. That would be so cool.
That would be awesome.
My.
All right. And let's go ahead and grab the next poem. And speaking of hedgehogs that Kate happened to bring up, the next poem is The Happy Hedgehogs by Paul Brott. And Kate, why don't you go ahead and give that a read for us, please?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Oh, it's got to get where I am. Dear me. Oh, I pressed the wrong thing and I lost everything. Right, I'll be there in a moment. See, it happens every time, doesn't it? Never fails. You ask me to do something and everything disappears. I've lost the will to live, folks. What is happening? I'll go into a new tab. I can beat this. It's not going to get me this time. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll be there in a moment. Oh, I love my life. It's so cool. Go on the radio, Kate, and make an absolute fool of yourself. Okay, I'll do that. Happy hedgehog. Yay, I've got him. Didn't take long, did it? Oh, what a beautiful picture. Here we are then. Hedgehog. The happy hedgehogs. Hedgehogs love the taller grass, potted plants, and sassafras. Peaceful skies, a flooded glen, earthworm sorts to nourish them. A wheelbarrow so sublime. Owl scans the hedgehog's find, potted plants from seasons past. A worm arrives, finally, at last. Gulp. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Kate. I have to say, I really enjoyed this little rhyming brevity from Paul Brott. You know, I thought it was just absolutely delightful with its choice of imagery and its take on the prompt. I like how he describes the scenery and peaceful skies, a flourished glen, and then the last line with the big gulp. You know, a wheelbarrow so sublime, owls scan the hedgehog's find. Potted plant seasons fast, a worm arrives finally at last. Gulp. Yeah, I feel like there's a little bit of sense of humor in the lines and the idea of, you know, how much these little hedgehogs are just going around, you know, and on their mind is, you know, enjoying life, including sassafras and worms. So fun, right, and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts.
Oh, yeah, I would. You know, delightful is just the word for this poem. I was smiling all throughout it. You know, thinking of the seeing those hedgehogs there and chasing after the earthworms and, you know, and just, you know, their little noses to the ground. And then he puts in the wheelbarrow there, you know. You know, you always see a wheelbarrow. Well, you know, I remember my great-grandparents' place, my grandmother's place, always the wheelbarrow, of course. And, and the potted plants and the owl. So wonderfully, wonderfully penned piece. You know, such a beautiful brevity. Amazingly well done. Bravo, Paul Brout.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. I have to agree. Absolutely. And wonderful, wonderful comment. Wait, I'm sorry. I didn't get Kate's comment yet. I'm sorry, Kate. Oh, dear. And Kate, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Thank you. Yes, I thought it was delightful. I mean, really, what a lovely way to describe this lovely little garden with the hedgehogs. I did like it a lot. As I've already said, we had them in my garden, and I was so chuffed. I thought, oh, nice. And that is just lovely with the potted plants. I think he did a sublime job on this. Oh, sublime's right in front of me, a wheelbarrow, so sublime. But he did. It's just light and airy and funny and descriptive and all that. Crammed into 40 words. That's extraordinary. So, yes, I really enjoyed it. Apart from the thought of the worm at the end. Apart from that, lovely. Thank you.
Well, it was a good ending for the hedgehogs, that's for sure. But, yeah, I'm not a big fan of worms myself either. So, but great comments.
Thank you.
All right. And up next, we have Mom Life, Rain or Shine by Jenny Hunt. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay. Mom Life, Rain or Shine. Hedgehog, squirrels, badger, or Homo sapien. Bunny or seal, all animals, time to sing. I'm sure all moms can agree. Mom life is a blessing. Mom life is a daily chore. You have my heart racing, for I love you to my core. Between our ups and downs, the slips and falls, laughs and tears, I will be here in spite of all my fears. Even when doing laundry creates bored frowns. As your mom, all I can do is love you and guide you through and through. We may not see eye to eye all the time, but you will always be my shining light. Mom, life never goes away. I'm the shade always to cover your heated days. You will grow up to become your own person, but you will always be my baby, my main purpose. End poem.
Wonderful read, Naomi. And I'm sorry, I need a couple minutes. Can you leave comments, please, Naomi?
Yeah, sure. Okay. This was a wonderful poem by Jenny. My gracious, you know, we really feel the sincere love that a mom can have for her children in this. And, you know, it's just so, so real, everything that she wrote down here. From doing the laundry, you know, with those bored frowns. And, you know, of course, you growing up, you don't always see eye to eye. And, you know, you have your ups and downs. But, you know, that love is always there, mom for their child. And what did you think, Kate?
Yes, I thought this was very, very sweet. This is somebody telling everybody what a wonderful mother she has. I think that's lovely. I enjoyed it a great deal. I mean, let's face it, when they become teens, your children kind of think you know nothing. And then suddenly when they get to sort of like 20 and 30 and whatever, they realize that actually you do know. It's just that they were fighting against it. But I thought it was just lovely. Mum, life never goes away. No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any difference how old your children are. They will always be your babies. And I think that's a beautiful sentiment. Very well written. Very sweet. And I enjoyed it a great deal. Thank you, Jenny. It was wonderful.
Oh, indeed.
Wonderful.
You know. Okay,
oh, go, Pam. I wasn't sure if you were back or not.
Yep, just got back. Wonderful comments. I really like what you both had to say. And I like that because not only is this painting about nature, but it's about life in general, life out in the country. And I like that Jenny was inspired by a few different prompts. I like that Jenny was inspired by a few different prompts. I like she says in her AN, these prompts mixed all remind me of mom life, especially number two with the laundry. And isn't that so true? That is such, you know, a struggle, a real struggle in anybody's life, but especially if you're a parent. I like how this shows, you know, the ups and downs of being a mother and the love that you feel and the connection you have with your child. You know, so just a wonderful write. And I especially like what I feel is like one great words of wisdom. As your mom, all I can do is love you and guide you through and through. We may not see eye to eye all the time, but you will always be my shining light. Wonderful lines and very well done. All right. And let's see what we have next. And definitely a beautiful write by Jenny. All right. Up next, we have Little Harbor by Man529. And it goes like this. Harbor full as tide swells, leaving starfish marooned, salty rocks. Christmas tree and glory stands on sea, soaked deck, old fishing boat, bobbing on foaming waves, nets full of freshly caught fish, crabs in buckets, lobster in cages, fine catch of the day. Lightly falling winter snow, seagulls cry out to be fed, waiting for the fishermen to once more to cast their nets. Puffins watch beaks of rainbow colors full of fish. Seals bask in cold winters, sun sheltering in harbor and harbor's walls in the small English bay. Busy shoppers buying Christmas fare from brightly colored shops. In this little harbor, choir practice carols, organ plays, echoing around the church. Lighthouse keeper busy cleans his sparkling lamp, ready for tomorrow, Christmas Day. Come one, come all, down to the pub to celebrate, where sea shanties will be sung around a blazing fire. End poem. And I'm so glad that Nan529 was inspired, and I had a feeling she would be, because while I don't know exactly what area she's from, I do know she's from England. And I just felt like, you know, that this might be her kind of, the kind of artwork that would inspire her. So I was glad to see her. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yes, isn't that a beautiful picture? I have noticed with this artist, through most of her pictures, it's on a sort of a curve. So the horizon's straight, but if you look at the houses on the harbour and the harbour wall, it has a lovely curve to it. And an awful lot of her paintings have the same effect. I think it's really distinctive. I've never seen that done before.
Oh, it is. Yeah, great observation there.
Yeah, it just struck me when I started to look at all the different pictures, how wonderful that is, that effect that she has. It looks like it's enclosing you. You know, it's just so sweet. Yes, well, I mean, there you are, a harbour. I used to sail a lot. I don't know if you've heard of the Firth of Forth. It's a Scottish, lots of sea leading, leading into the sort of the Atlantic, I think it is. But anyway, it's full of little harbours, just like this. There's lime kilns and there's Port Weem and quite a lot of them, little harbours like that. And we used to sail up and down all over the place into all these little harbours, and they're so interesting because they're old, and the houses around them, of course, are the same age. So this is just reminiscent of all those lovely little harbours, and it's beautifully written. I mean, there we are. In this little harbour, choir practice carols, organ plays echoing around the church. You can see that. That's the kind of place it is. So, yes, I think it's lovely. So nice. And it just reminds me of that beautiful smell of seaweed. I love that smell of seaweed. So, yes, lovely, Nan. Thank you so much for sharing this beautiful piece of poetry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is she captured that picture so beautifully in their words here. I just love that first line, harbor full as tide swells, leaving starfish marooned, salty rocks. There's just something about that, that starfish marooned, salty rocks that just, I don't know, it just makes you smell the salt, and there's just beautiful alliteration in there, and the swells, the starfish, the salty, just a beautiful line that draws you right into that poem. And then all through the imagery, oh my gracious, all the little details that she puts into this poem, from the puffins that watch, beaks of rainbow colors full of fish, to the lighthouse keeper busy cleans his sparkling lamp, all the way down to where sea shanties will be sung around a blazing fire, all this, and the Christmas theme that runs through the whole poem, because you see the Christmas trees in the painting and the art, but it's really, really captured the spirit of that painting so beautifully well, and bravo for this, Nana. 529, just a most excellent write indeed.
Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful comments, both of you, and great observations. And yes, there's definitely beautiful imagery in this that grabs your attention right away and keeps it. I really like Nan's attention to detail, as you were bringing up, Naomi, and was that she really just, delved into this painting and grabbed every little bit out of it, and very much has this way of painting with words. Like, it's nice that she has the painting attached, but honestly, I could view the scene that she's writing about just simply by reading her poem. Wonderful alliteration, beautiful imagery. I do especially like that second stanza and with the busy shoppers' Christmas fair from brightly colored shops, and then where it says at the next stanza, lighthouse keeper busy cleans his sparkling lamps. And I think that's a great line because it reminds us of the importance of the lighthouse and the lighthouse keepers in coastal towns. So excellent write and very well done. All right. And before we move on, I would like to welcome Laurent to the show. Welcome, Laurent. Glad you could join us.
I had every intentions of being on time. I apologize for being late.
No problem. You are just in time.
So.
Hello, Laurent.
Bonsoir, Naomi.
And yes. Sorry. All right. And did you by any chance have an opportunity to read Little Harbor by Man 529?
I'm going to, and I'll comment later.
Okay, that sounds good. That sounds good. Well, then I'll go ahead and grab the next poem, which here we go. And we have Petticoat Cottage by Silvana Five. And Laurent, would you give that a read for us, please?
My pleasure. Petticoat Cottage. I'm turning the corner. What a charming scene unfolded before my eyes. Sitting snugly in an enchanting garden sat a thatched cottage, which seemed to smile at me through its windows. I closed my eyes. I could see the chintzy curtains, the comfy sofa, children playing happily, and mother baking in the kitchen. Surrounded by nature's wonderful blooms, it beckoned me. I am enthralled, for I know this home is where love and laughter reside. It's filling my mind with fond memories of other times. There is no place like home. End poem.
Wonderful read, Laurent, beautiful write by Silvana. I'm so glad that she was inspired. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, you know, what a wonderful write this is. You know, she really captured all the essence of, you know, that home. You know, I closed my eyes. I could see the chintzy curtains, the comfy sofa, children playing happily, and mother baking in the kitchen. You know, just such beautiful flow to this poem. It's truly enchanting, as the art is itself. You know, she really, really brought that to the poem, that feeling of a you know, wonderment, you know, and warmth. There's a warmth to this poem. You know, just like, as she says, there is no place like home. It makes me think of, you know, being at my mom's place, which is far, far away from here, down in the Gaspé. And I only get to see her about like two times a year because it's so far away. Quebec is such a big, big province. But, you know, this makes me think of being at home with my mom, the kids, the grandchildren playing, and, you know, my mom always busy doing something around the kitchen. And, yeah, so just beautiful light. So bravo, Silvana.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yes, this is basically captured that picture prompt perfectly, and the little dog in the garden, so cute. Oh, and a cat. But yes, I my particular favorite stanza was, surrounded by nature's wonderful blooms, it beckoned me, I am enthralled, for I know this home is where love and laughter reside. Yeah, that's just a lovely thought, isn't it, to have a home that's a happy place to be in. And you can imagine mother in the kitchen making the cookies. I'm presuming that's what they're called. We call them biscuits, cookies, yeah. So I thought that was beautifully written and with an awful lot of sweetness and love in it and fond memories. Who doesn't want them? So, Savannah, that was absolutely beautiful. Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely, yes. And you're right, it does focus nicely on those fond memories. And, Laurent, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
I love the way she begins this. Not what a charming scene unfolded before my eyes, which would be a perfectly legitimate way of beginning it, but on turning the corner, what a charming scene unfolded before my eyes. But she begins the poem with an action, almost as if this is a continuation of something that had been read previously and was now being finished. At that center stanza, I closed my eyes. I could see the chintz curtains, the comfy sofa, children playing happily, mother baking in the kitchen, in the same way that the picture of the cottage kind of tugs at your heart because it's almost an idealized picture. Well, it is an idealized picture. And what are some of the tropes of that perfect little cottage? Why, it's the chintz curtains, the sofa, the playing children, mother baking. Those are all very relatable, familiar actions that seem to fit the picture so well. It's a simple little piece, but as our other poems, its reach is much larger than its actual. I really like this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful comments, everybody. Yeah, I thought this was beautiful. I did like the nostalgic feel to it. I really enjoyed the imagery and the idea of, you know, how it's almost like she's going on a walk, you know, when she says, on turning the corner, what a charming scene unfolded before my eyes. And she, with her words, she's taking us along with her on that walk. I really like that second stanza that mentions the comfy sofa, the children playing happily, and mother baking in the kitchen. There's just something about, you know, a lot of times, and not for everyone, but a lot of times there's, you know, good memories that involve, you know, the food that comes out of the, you know, mother's kitchen or grandmother's kitchen, you know. So just wonderful lines all the way through, beautifully written and very well done. All right. And the next poem I'm going to put up will be by Betty Page, and it will have a SoundCloud, and it is called Starlight's Flowers.
Starlight's Flowers, spinning kaleidoscope hues as sunset fades to night skies, shimmering starlight's flowers surrounding our cozy home, French vanilla scent swirling decadent bakery cakes, decorated with icing, rainbow colors, fine sugars, bright sweet moonlights cascading amidst tall giant pine trees, starlight's flowers bloom below, dancing with magic mushrooms, golden yellow daffodils, spinning enchanting daydreams, new magical adventures hidden in secret gardens. Mystical night goddesses rules over midnight fairies. They mingle with fireflies, wild animals in forests. Snowy owls gliding high silently observes neath stars, twinkling in blue universe in deep, dark sapphire shades. Elegant masquerade balls, dark mystics, alchemists merge, swirling, twirling in romance, dancing with starlight's flowers. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Betty. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, then the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And, Laurent, what did you think of Betty's magical poem?
That's a good word, magical. Golden yellow daffodils, spinning enchanted daydreams, new magical adventures hidden in secret gardens. There are ways of writing poems about gardens that are, you know, kind of prosaic, the pretty, this, that. But there is something magic in the way she writes. These spinning kaleidoscopic hues, sunset fades, the night skies, shimmering starlit flowers surrounding our cozy home. The use of language in this is really quite delightful. She paints a magical picture, as has been mentioned before. I love the snowy owls gliding high, silently observes neath stars, twinkling in the blue universe. The language is just really kind of special. it trips all those little triggers of a what we might perceive as a magical place, so well described in this poem.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, yes. It was so nice to hear her voice, wasn't it? Lovely reading voice. It's such a pleasure. And this is a beautiful piece of poetry. It's, again, it's everything you want to know is there for you. You've got the smell. You've got the shimmering starlight flowers. Oh, and lovely cozy home. I thought it was beautifully done. I think my favorite stanza would probably be bright, sweet moonlight cascading amid tall, giant pine trees. Starlight flowers bloom below, dancing with magic mushrooms. Now, you see, I don't know about you, but magic mushrooms around about this area doesn't quite mean the same thing. it's completely magic mushrooms. Oh, dear. Yes, anyway, it's beautiful. I thought it was wonderfully written and so observant. Observant. I can't even say it, for goodness sake. But anyway, thank you so much for sharing it with us, Betty.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, yeah, I like that stanza, too. So great comment there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, this was just so deliciously, delightfully enchanting because I'm always on a diet, so I'm always hungry. So, you know, my favorite stanza was French vanilla scent swirling, decadent bakery cakes decorated with icing, rainbow colors, fine sugars. Now I'm hungry. I want cake. But, you know, it was just beautiful, you know. Yeah, you said magical. It was truly magical, the whole thing, you know, from the masquerade balls to those mystical night goddesses, the midnight fairies, the fireflies, the snowy owls. You know, she poured so much into this poem here, and it's just absolutely stunning. So bravo, bravo, Betty. It's wonderful, wonderful, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I really enjoyed the four-line stanzas that she brought in. Wonderful imagery. I like how this is a mixture of reality and fantasy. That one stanza that Kate brought up and Kate's comment made me think of, there's a podcast that I like to listen to with this lady who's Scottish, and I forget the name of the podcast, but she talks about and uncovers stories about fae folk, fairies, elves, and other mystical creatures, mostly from the region that she's in, which of course, you know, with my memory, I forget what that is, but it just really, it made me think of that and how delightful it is to hear those stories of fae folk and the world that they live in. Beautiful imagery throughout. I really particularly like mystical night goddesses rules over midnight fairies. They mingle with fireflies, wild animals and forests, snowy owls gliding high, silently observes neath stars twinkling in blue universe and deep dark sapphire shades. Beautiful lines and very well done. All right, and let's see what we have next. All right. Let's see here. I'm looking back. I know I had Lauren to read, and then we had a recording, and I'm trying to remember who I had before that. And I believe I was, yes, I read NaN 529. So now I'll go ahead and put up the next poem, and I have The Path by Damn It Dave. And Kate, will you give that a read for us, please?
I would be delighted. Let's see what he's going to do to trip us up tonight. Okay, damn it, Dave. Let's see what we're doing here. The path. I love the daily walks I take with Jack. We see such sights that nature has in store. We head down to the creek and amble back. Jack loves the chance to ramble and explore. Spring right now, and everything is green. The birds are singing to us in the trees. The path we take, so scenic and serene. The scent of daffodils is on the breeze. Jack always runs ahead of me to play, while I hang back delighting in the view. It matters not if it's a rainy day. Out on the path is where you'll find us too. End poem.
Wonderful read, Kate, and an absolutely delightful poem by damn it, Dave. And yeah, I'm always a big fan of poems that involve, you know, the connection between people and their pets. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, this, you know, really, like you said, you know, it really shows the connection between the pet, you know, him, his pet dog, and nature. And, you know, they're both enjoying their walk, you know, through nature, and just how, and the serenity of it all, you know. And he brings in, you know, he brings in quite a bit of imagery that touches our sense in here. You know, he has the birds, the singing of the birds, the scent of the daffodils, you know, of course the imagery, the you know, the emotion also that comes in. You know, you can feel the love that he has for his dog, both his dog and nature. And you know, and I love that he took a really simple title, you know, and called this simply The Path. And, you know, it really is, you know, that path to finding that peacefulness that he has with, you know, in sync with his dog and nature. So beautiful, beautiful right here, damn it, Dave.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yes, I've always admired Damn It Dave's ability to rhyme. If you take a look at that first stanza, the third and fourth line, we head down to the creek and then amble back. Jack loves the chance to ramble and explore. The third line has the word amble, and there's an internal rhyme to that with the word ramble, and then immediately following explore, which harkens back to the second line. For the rhyme. So you got end rhymes and internal rhymes almost at the same time. And then if you look at that second stanza and you look at green, trees, serene, breeze, they're all, it's the ABAB rhyme scheme, but it also is a near, all four words are near rhymes to each other. He just plays with words so well, so skillfully. Just a really excellent ability to rhyme without seeming too ordinary, too, you know, because, you know, anybody can sit and just find words that rhyme, and it doesn't necessarily have flow, it doesn't necessarily be the right words, they just rhyme, right? No, these are the right words. Brilliant little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree with you. He is very good at playing with words, and especially as you pointed out in this particular one with the internal and the end rhyme. You know, I like that he decided to be inspired by this particular artwork and his take off the prompt. This has wonderful rhyme and flow. This actually makes me think of when I used to walk my dog Baby, and we lived in a town that, you know, that had a river in it, and you know, there was a trail that, you know, the trail led to a park, and Baby used to love to go for walks on that particular trail and go to that park and just walk along the river. You know, and there's something very heartfelt and nostalgic when writing about, you know, going for a walk with a dog. And I really like how he captures the spirit of the painting, and especially with that second stanza where he brings in the different imagery and the different sounds. I also had to get a big smile out. I got a big smile out of Jack always runs ahead of me to play while I hang back delighting in the view. It matters not if it's a rainy day. Out on the path is where you'll find us too. Wonderful lines and very well done. All right, and let me see what we have next. And oh, and I see Amy on the board. Hello, Amy. Good to see you. All right. Up next, we have Bright Days and Dark Nights by Poetic Creations. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Of course. Bright Night and Dark Days. Bright Days and Dark Nights, by Poetic Creations. Chipper is the skipper butterfly as people on bicycles pass on by. Dogs are obedient, cats climb, camouflage, whippoorwills hide. Up a mountain hiking hikers hike, before the setting sun nosedives. Wet clothes dry on a clothesline, worn by bright rays of sunshine. So through dark sky wings like kites, barn owls sing a symphony tonight. Barks, whistles, coos, and cries. Whooping hooters holler, still shy. Cottonwood trees snow to July. Crows join in a murder full of delight. Scarecrows in fields bring fright while mothers hold their babies tight. End poem.
Wonderful read. Wonderful read there, Naomi, and a beautiful write by Amy or A.R. Mundell. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, that third stanza. Through dark sky wings like kites, barn owls sing a symphony tonight. Barks, whistles, coos, and cries. Whooping hooters holler still shy. Great ability here to paint that picture with words. The cottonwood trees, snow to July. That's such a clever line and describes so well what happens when the cottonwoods shed their cotton. It is very much like snow. So I really admire the way that Poetic Creations paints the picture so vividly. And there's alliteration here and there, which is very nice. Up a mountain, hiking a hiker's hike. I enjoyed that. And Chipper is the skipper butterfly is also a great line. Well, it's all those great lines. Nice job, Poetic.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And before we continue on with comments, I would like to welcome Amy to the show. Welcome, Amy. Glad you could join us.
Hey. Hi, Amy.
Are you on mute, Amy? All right. Well, she might be having some technical problems, so I'll just continue on. And, you know, if at any point she wants to, she can speak up. So, all right. So great comment, Lauren. And Kate, your thoughts on this poem?
Oh, yeah. I thought the alliteration in this was wonderful, and the actual sounds as well. Barks, whistles, coos, and cries. Whooping hooters holler so shy. That's lovely, isn't it? I also like bringing in the collective noun for crows, a murder of crows. I think the things they have for birds, I mean, a murder of crows. There's also an unkindness of ravens. That's another one. Oh, weird.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yep, yeah,
you're right. I thought that was really clever how he used the phrase murder crows. And, yeah, it is interesting how a group of crows is called a murder and a group of ravens is called an unkindness. So,
I wonder where they got that. Yeah, I wonder where who decided that would be what they would call them. It's so unlikely, isn't it? Not to run out of collective nouns. I don't know. It's just the oddest thing. Anyway, yes. I thought it was very atmospheric. I liked it a lot. Bright days and dark nights. Thank you, Poetic Creations. Most enjoyable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, it's actually fun to look up, if you get a chance, look up a list of what different groups of animals are called, and you'll come across some quite interesting and amusing ones. So, but Naomi, you did a beautiful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a well-deserved front page pick, by the way. You know, he was very proud of that one. And, and so deserving and so, such a deserving one too. Just a beautiful, well-flowing poem that has so much imagery throughout it and such beautiful alliteration and such clever twists of sentences too throughout, I find, And through dark sky wings like kites, barn owls sing a symphony tonight. And I just love, like Kate, that barks, whistle, coos, and cries, whooping hooters, hollers still shy. That one really stuck out to me too, as many other lines that Lorraine already recited. But what a clever, delightful write this is. It's just superbly well written and well deserved front page pick, Poetic Creation. So bravo to you.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up that this was a front page pick, because first of all, congratulations to him. It is well-deserved. And then, there's just something I have to say. I don't know about any other host or hostess, but when somebody gets a front page pick for a write that they did for one of my contests, it always makes me smile and, kind of just cheer a little bit because, exactly. It's a good feeling. It really is. This has wonderful wordplay, great imagery, a nice flow to it. I like that he brings in, as Kay was talking about, the crows join us in a murder full of delight, but also using hooters as owls, whooping hooters, hollers still shy, and brought in the barn owls, I just really like the imagery in this, and I like the sense of movement and how it's really about taking time to watch how the different birds fly and soar and how the different animals react. And I like that he brought in the whippoorwills, because I remember as a child listening to whippoorwills at nighttime, and it just was one of my absolute favorite sounds. It sounds like a bird that's just cheering everybody on. So excellent write and very well done. I have to say, I'm just really happy with the poetry that we have tonight. All right. So the next one I'm going to put up has a recording, and it is So Turns the Dew by Errant Panther.
So Turns the Dew by Errant Panther. So turns the dew in moonlit groves, lingering on the petaled lips, deep inside spring's cradle, holding splendor proudly, even against the weariest eyes. Night songs abound, wrapped in the mellow tones of a lonely owl's chorus, all beneath a banner of stars, glistening like fireflies, yet somehow still and quiet, sentry-like, overseeing these small hour revelations. In the shadowed breath, as this darkness grows deeper, each whisper of perspective, once forgotten or otherwise, come dancing through unconscious thought, like a young girl in the fields of dandelion and aster. Then so turns the dew, becoming the tears of memory. End poem.
Wonderful read and write, Aaron. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. And Kate, your thoughts on this wonderful poem?
Yes, and it's lovely to hear that the sound clouds. That was so well read. It was really, it just lifts everything, doesn't it? When you, there's a human voice telling you exactly what they want you to get from their poem. And I thought it was lovely. See, there you are again, glistening fireflies. I haven't ever seen a firefly. I would love to. It sounds magical, doesn't it? So turns it you, and I love that. The last two lines just perfectly end this. And so turns the dew, becoming the tears of memory. Very, very sweet. So yes, I really enjoyed it. It was so descriptive, and I loved all the information about Lone Owl's chorus and being sensory-like. That's a lovely thought. So yes, thank you so much for sharing this with us, Aaron Panther. It was delightful.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment there. Wonderful comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
This is so beautifully nostalgic. You know, it's just spellbinding. You know, that last stanza there with the ending, just beautiful. But I just like, you know, the night songs abound, wrapped in the mellow tones of a lone owl's course, all beneath a banner of stars, glistening like fireflies, yet somehow still and quiet, sentry-like, overseeing these small hours' revelations. He brings out the magic and the peacefulness of that moment there in time, you know, where the dew, you know, turns in the daylight there. Such a wonderfully well-worded piece throughout, and so beautifully done. So bravo, Aaron Panther. Just love this, right? Wow. Just so wonderfully, stunningly well written.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. Great comment. And Laurent, your thoughts?
I love the use of language in this piece. I mean, it's a modern poem. It has elements of classic poetry all through deep inside spring's cradle, which is a great metaphor, holding splendor proudly even against the weariest eyes. It's an example of what I mean by classic feel. That next stanza, which was referenced just a moment ago, the night songs abound, wrapped in the mellow tones of a lone owl's chorus. You get a feel of a night filled with sound. Beneath a banner of stars, it's lit beautifully, glistening like fireflies. And despite the vivid, bright images that we're given, the poem still conveys that feeling of a very quiet night, yet somehow still and quiet, sentry-like, which is a nice turn of phrase. Because that is what it feels like, sentry-like, overseeing these small hour revelations, referring to the very early hours of the new day, which again is so well phrased, and in my point of view is very, very evocative, as are all the lines in this. Really a delightful piece by Aaron.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. This has wonderful imagery and metaphors. And I like that he doesn't just delve into the painting and describe the paintings, which he does. But I feel like more that there's this representation of the passing of time and how we look further and further back on memories and what they mean to us. You know, I feel like So Turns the Dew in Moonlit Grooves is a wonderful starting point to represent how in every morning the dew is on the grass and then it slowly evaporates. And that's a great representation for life, for those brief moments in life where we see that shining dew and then it is gone. I really like this all the way through, but that second to last stanza and the ending couplet were especially beautiful. And I like when people bring in specific flowers like dandelion and aster rather than just saying the flowers. You know, wonderful lines all the way through and very well done. And I'd like to welcome Amy to the show. Welcome, Amy. Glad you could
Hello.
Join us.
Thanks. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi.
So very good
Hi,
to
Amy.
Hear you.
Hi. Nice to hear you speak to you also.
Would you like to make a comment on Errant Panther's poem?
Yeah, I thought it was really beautiful. A lot of like amazing imagery throughout and beautiful phrases throughout. Like Lone Owl's chorus and Lingering on the Petaled Lips were particularly beautiful.
Absolutely, I have to agree. Wonderful comment. Now, Amy, I know it's pretty late for you. Do you need to read and run, or can you stick with us for a bit?
No, I can stick with you for a bit.
All right. Sounds good to me. And I will go ahead and grab the next poem. And all right. And up next, I have your poem, Lauren. So go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
By all means, give me just 1 second to get back to where I should be instead of where I am, finishing the comments. All right, this is called Rainbow Day. Aimless ambling crosses trodden fescues, an easy path to follow, straining away from the mountain. Pulling towards open fields like a dog on a leash, distrusting the dark undergrowth collaring that lofty spire. Emerging in a meadow where its wending widened and vanished in a sea of blue moon crocus, Goldilocks and firefly snow. A carpet of preening pastels paying homage to a gentle sun and a wind that did not blow. Perfume hung in a stale air, mystical mixture, atomized in shades of yellow, purple, white. Symphony of fragrance, fat notes, moist with substance, plump and round, bursting like bubbles on a rainbow day. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Laurent. I'm so glad you were inspired. And Naomi, your thoughts.
I'm off mute. Okay, yeah, this is just amazing. You know, emerging in a meadow where its wending widened and vanished in a sea of blue moon crocus, Goldilocks and firefly snow. I just love that firefly snow. A carpet of preening pastels, paying homage to a gentle sun and a wind that did not blow. And then your last stanza, there's a plump and round, bursting like bubbles on a rainbow day. What a finish, what a finish. You know, this is just absolutely magnificent, right to that art, Laurent. So well penned and so cleverly thought out and beautifully written.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Kate,
your thoughts?
Oh, it was beautifully read, Laurence. I really enjoyed it. I like, obviously, I always like your work, but this one actually calmed me down. And that's a big thing. I'm never calm, but I just so enjoyed, and I was with you all the way and vanished into the sea. I'm not going to do that. It's a bit too cold for the sea. But I love the couple of preening pastels paying homage to a gentle sun and the wind that did not blow. So it wasn't there to annoy you and blow your hair all over the place. Wonderful. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Great comment, Kate. And Amy, your thoughts?
I really liked it. I thought the third stanza was really clever, pulling towards open fields like a dog on a leash, distrusting the dark undergrowth colouring that lofty spire. It's like your sort of personifying the walk in itself. I mean, or more like zoomorphification, but I thought it was really clever.
Absolutely. Wonderful comments, everybody. Yeah, Lauren, this is a beautiful write. I like that it's not just about the imagery, but also the scent of the wild flowers and, taking that deep breath and taking it all in. I like that you start us out with the alliteration of aimless ambling. And I thought, having ambling instead of walking was a great word choice, because it's kind of that idea of you don't have a specific destination in mind. You're just enjoying the journey. I felt like this could work well as an extended metaphor for the idea of enjoying the journey. I really liked this all the way through. Especially a carpet of preening pastels paying homage to a gentle sun and a wind they did not blow. Perfume hung in a still air, mystical mixture atomized in shades of yellow, purple, white. That ending line is so delightful. Bursting like bubbles on a rainbow day. That's the kind of imagery that just really warms your heart and gives you a smile. So, excellent write and very well done.
Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Glad you were inspired. And up next, we have your poem, Naomi, so go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Yeah, thank you, Pam, for this inspiration, this beautiful art. I also got a front page pic out of
awesome.
It, so thank you. So this is Grandma's Garden. Grandma's backyard reminded me of her, a sea of choreographed chaos. Dandelions, white puffed clocks, their seeds drifting tied to natural parachutes, traveling without notion of place, happy in that fraction of time we call now. I imagined her arms slowly swaying to Janis Joplin at Woodstock as I watched the daisies dance in the whisper of wind like drifting clouds. Clouds that promise petal rain. And I saw her in the sunflowers, firmly rooted in the earth, standing tall, proudly radiating yellow petals as if they were a lioness's mane. Remember watching her tiptoeing, picking the red berries, so vibrant against the gray ceramic bowl, her calm, delicate hands spreading over each green leaf as sunbathing starfish upon summer rocks. She was at home among the flowers, weeds, wands of grass, cheerful hopping robins and darting squirrels, as if she hummed along with the garden, the scurries and the subtle movement of flora, listening to nature with more than her ears. One day she pointed towards a sparrow, explained to me how the small bird flew, not in a swooping arc or glide, but as if it were attached to the sky by a yo-yo. And I watched as it went from tree to rooftop, up, down, up, down, up. Then she smiled, taking my little hand in hers. "Listen to what," she said. "Listen to the bird song. It comes sweet and high, the laughter of our winged friends, as a magical flute softly floating and free, notes never written, dancing as steps never taught." Then twirling and hugging me, she laughed softly. "It is the river of the air, a flowing music that hydrates our parched souls." I didn't quite understand all she said back then, but today I take the time to listen to the birds singing. I seep into the moment, my feet still, heartbeat steadily drumming to their melody, and remembering Grandma and our cozy closeness, patterns trace my cheeks where my teardrops come and dry. End poem.
Oh, beautiful read there, Naomi. And what a wonderful write. I'm so glad you were inspired. And congratulations on a well-deserved front page pick. And Lawrence, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, Grandma's backyard reminded me of her. A sea of choreographed chaos, dandelions, white puff clocks. You know, using your grandma as a starting point for the poem and immediately personalizes the piece. You know, the story revolving around her and what delights her, everything seen through her eyes, so to speak, even though we have a narrator. And you tell it, your useful language describes her so well. I imagine her arms slowly swaying the Janis Joplin at Woodstock as I watched the daisies dance, the whispers of wind like drifting clouds, clouds that promise petal rain. Delightful language. Again, personalizing the piece with the little bit about Janis Joplin. From that, you know, you can extrapolate easily the kind of person she might have been at that time and why she has what was called a sea of choreographed chaos, which is, again, a great alliteration, lovely use of language. So much in this poem is personal because it's seen through the eyes of the grandchild, and then the way that she describes the way she uses colors to describe what's going on, the red picking, the red berries so vibrant against the gray ceramic bowl, the contrast in colors there is really nice, and her calm, delicate hands spreading over each green leaf as sunbathing starfish upon summer rocks. Lord, is that's lyrically beautiful. And again, great phrasing. You really outdid yourself here, Naomi. Really, really nice.
Thank you, Lauren.
Great comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, yes. It's beautiful. Really, it deserves the front page picture. Absolutely. And you read it so beautifully, too. I love all of the lines about birds. It's just so sweet. Yeah. One day she pointed towards a sparrow, explained to me how the small bird flew, not in a swooping arc or glide, but as if it were attached to the sky by a yo-yo. I would never even have thought of how a bird flies. It wouldn't cross my mind. But that's, you know, that picking up these little points is what makes it so vibrant. I think that's the word I'm thinking. It's sweet, it's clean, beautiful wordage. I don't even think that's a word, by the way. I just made that one up. But I thought it was a beautiful ode to that your grandma and how she looked after her garden and enjoyed it. So thank you so much for sharing it. It was lovely.
Thank you, Kate.
Absolutely wonderful comment. And Amy, your thoughts on Naomi's poem?
I thought it was really beautiful. I loved how you like described everything, with such amazing imagery. Like, I particularly like dandelions, white cloth clocks, their seeds drifting tied to natural parachutes, traveling without notion of place, and picking the red berries so vibrant against the grey ceramic bowl, and also the yo-yo of the sparrow as well. It's really beautifully described the whole way through. Amazing.
Thank you, Amy.
Yeah, wonderful comments, everybody. Yeah, this is a stunning write, Naomi. I have to say, I think it's a beautiful, heartfelt tribute to your grandmother and the connection that you had with her. I really like the imagery in this and how you bring in. I imagined her arm slowly swaying to Janis Joplin at Woodstock as I watched the daisies dance and the whispers of wind like drifting clouds, clouds that promise petal rain. And then I like where then you bring in her smile. Then she smiled, taking my little hand in hers. Listen to it, she said. Listen to the bird song. It comes sweet and high, the laughter of our winged friends, as a magical flute softly floating and free. Now, these are just beautiful, heartfelt lines all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Absolutely. All right. And I'll go ahead and grab the next poem. And Amy, that will be your poem. So go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okay. Hedgehog trees. They let the spores cover their spines to mirror arching trees, their bare spikes caught with fluffy down, which drifts upon the breeze. The owl flies by those hedgehog trees and hedgerows blooming pink, searching with its scorching gaze for prey between their links. Is this hedge moving? No, it's just the touch of...
Uh-oh, Amy's having technical problems and dropped. So what I'm actually going to do, Kate, if you don't mind, just go ahead and give that poem a read.
Yes, of course, my pleasure. So we're right. Is that small hedge moving? No, it's just a touch of breeze. Its searching gaze glazed over by the drifting of the leaves. Their noses go on snuffling through groves of newborn spring, contented in their cover as the buzzer hoots and sings. End poem.
Wonderful finish up of the reading there, Kate. Thank you very much. And I'm glad that we got to hear part of that by Amy. And hopefully she'll be able to call right back and, hear the comments. Laurent, your thoughts?
It's a pity that Amy couldn't finish the poem off, although Katie did a great job of finishing it. I love hedgehog trees. To take that image and use it to describe the arching trees covered by spores, the spines actually holding little bits of fluffy down, you can see that image in your head quite clearly. The last stanza, their noses go on snuffling through groves of newborn spring, contented in their cover as the busker hoots and sings. You know, one of the things I love so much about Great Britain is the tradition of busking, or simply setting up on a street corner somewhere and starting to sing, whether it's an individual or a band. And the act of busking, always usually draws a crowd. These are impromptu little contests just set up very, very spontaneous, perhaps, but something that would never happen in this country because there are way too many laws. You can't assemble here. It's an impediment to traffic. It's dangerous because of the traffic, et cetera, et cetera. All the rules and regulations that tend to throttle spontaneity. And that's what I like so much about this piece. It's spontaneity of language and image using the hedgehog trees as things that are almost alive. Just great piece.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is just absolutely so intelligently, cleverly put together, Amy. Oh, my gracious. You know, it brings us a clear picture, like Laura was saying. You can just see that, those spores over the spine, over the spines of the trees there, you know, becoming those little hedgehog trees. And, you know, I just love, is that small hedge moving? No, it's just a touch of breeze. It's searching gaze glazed over by the drifting of the leaves. And, you know, the flow of this is just so, so beautiful. It just captivates you and keeps you there, you know, all through the ride. And it's just beautiful. And so well done. Just an amazing, amazing piece. Bravo.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And wonderful comment, Naomi. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, I love the fact that hedgehogs predominantly showing themselves tonight because they are one of my favorite things. As I've already said, seeing them in my garden was such a delight. So there we are. Just beautiful. And I thought this was very well written, very observant. And like Laurent, I love that arching trees, spikes caught with fluffy down. I thought that was just lovely. And their noses go on snuffling through groves of newborn spring. That's another lovely line. Contented in their cover as the busker hoots and sings. I'm sorry, I kind of hesitated on that last line when I saw busker because I thought I was reading it wrongly, because that's what we have in Edinburgh when the fringe is on. We have buskers all over the place doing their little bits. I don't know if anybody knows about the fringe in Edinburgh. It's a comedy show. I don't know what it's called. I forgot the word. I do apologize. I'm getting very tired. But yes, so I stuttered a little bit at that point. But it was so enjoyable to read as well. Very smooth. So thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. And yeah, I was intending it like busker in that way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Oh, thank you.
Oh, that is fun. That is fun. Great wordplay there. Wonderful comments, everybody. Yeah, Amy, I'm so glad you were inspired, and I'm glad that you were able to get through and we got to hear the majority of your poem read in your voice. Of course, I will say that Kate finished it up just lovingly. This has beautiful rhyme and flow, great imagery. And one of the things I really like about this poem is you helped me to see the artwork in a new way. Like, it wasn't until I read your poem and then re-looked at the painting that I realized how much those trees truly look like the little hedgehogs in the foreground. And so I thought that was just absolutely just clever and delightful. I too really like that question. Is that small hedge moving? No, it's just the touch of breeze. It's searching gaze glazed over by the drifting of the leaves. Wonderful lines there. And I also really like their noses go on snuffling through groves of newborn spring, contented in their cover as the busker hoots and sings. Yeah, I like how you call it, say, newborn spring, the idea of those first days of spring that are just starting to, you know, poke out of the ground and blossom. So wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you very much. It was a really inspiring picture, so really loved that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm always happy to inspire. Well, thank you. And all right, well, on to the next poem. We have Memories of a Meadow by Daniel Duhaime, and it goes like this. Snow bells blossoming from a white diamond surface upon a landscape of white, reminders of a springtime meadow, infecting the land with color which brings out the animals that hibernate to frolic in the melting snow, like children giving a free ground to play in chasing each other and disappearing in the snow. As the sun warms up the landscape like a fiery furnace, heating up the ground, while the birds of spring return to sing melodies conceived by the sun who conducts their orchestra with its rays and poem. And what an absolutely wonderful write by Daniel Duhaime. And Amy, your thoughts?
Sorry, I was just a bit distracted. Can you come back to me?
Absolutely. I will, yep, come back to you. All right,
you.
Kate, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I love the format. It's so interesting. You know, the lines don't follow the same syllable count. They're just basically like he's speaking to us. And I like that so much. It gives it a sort of a happiness. Yeah, a happiness. There's a glow about it, which is lovely. But so, yeah, I mean, for a start, you have a line like, infecting the land with color. I mean, that's brilliant, infecting the land with color. That's so cool. Which brings out the animals that hibernate to frolic in the melting snow. Yeah, I think it's very well written. I love some of those stanzas are breathtaking. As the sun warms up the landscape like a fiery furnace heating up the ground. So, yes, exactly. So I thought it was very well done. Beautifully written, Daniel. So thank you for sharing it with us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Wonderful comment. Yeah, I love the idea of animals coming out of hibernation and frolicking, except for bears, because bears come out of hibernation big and mean and hungry, and they go straight for your trash.
Oh, no. Oh, that's so scary.
At least in this area, they do.
Really? Oh, my goodness. So you can look out and there's a big bear.
Oh, yes.
Eating your
leftovers. For sure.
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad I stay in Edinburgh. The fiercest thing in Edinburgh is haggises.
Oh, well, there you go. I don't know. I almost rather face a bear than a haggis. But
we should use that as an advert for them. That'd be I would rather face a bear than a haggis. I love it. Well done. Thank you. Cool.
Good comment there, Kate. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Well, I have it on good authority that if you threaten a bear with a bowl of haggis, it will turn tail and run, hungry or not.
No doubt about that.
No, if you saw them, in the spring, they go frolicking around the mountains. They have two short legs and two long legs. Makes it easier for them to go around the mountain, and they don't get caught as easily either. So you would love them if you saw them.
Yeah, I agree. There is an innocence about the joy. Excuse me. There's an innocence in the way that animals express joy. There's nothing premeditated. There's no background to worry about in terms of emotions that may underlie whatever action is going on. Sometimes there's an artificial expression of joy, but with animals, it's natural. It's open. There is an innocence about it. And I really like the way she described that, the infecting the land with color, which brings out the animals that hibernate to frolic in the melting snow. That is so well done, as is the poem.
Absolutely. I have to agree.
wonderful comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
I was laughing between haggises and bears there.
Neither of which are in the fall.
But, you know, this is a wonderful, wonderful write by Danielle Duham. You know, I just like how he opens it up. Snow bells blossoming with a white diamond surface upon a landscape of white, reminders of a springtime meadow. What a way to bring you in. And then he finishes out just as strong with, while the birds of spring return to sing melodies conceived by the sun, conduct the orchestra with its rays. So, you know, just a beautiful all the way through, powerful lines, beautiful imagery, and so well done. So bravo, Danielle Jam.
Absolutely. Absolutely wonderful comment. And Amy, did you have an opportunity to read Daniel's poem?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was a lovely poem. I particularly liked how he likens the animals to children in a playground. I thought that was really clever. And also really liked that last line, who conducts their orchestra with its rays as well. I thought it was beautiful.
It truly was, yes. Yeah, I like that part too. Wonderful comment. Yeah, there is a delightful sense of innocence to this and to the idea of the animals being compared to children at play. I like the personification of the animals and, you know, of the sun itself. I like that in the end lines he says, while the birds of spring return to sing melodies conceived by the sun, who conducts their orchestra with its rays. I thought that was a really creative way to describe the rays of the sun, to compare it to a conductor's baton. So wonderful write all the way through and very well done. All right, and let's see what we have next. All right, we have... The Cheerful Spring by Xylophonic Blues. And Laurent, would you give that a read for us, please?
I'll be more than happy to. All right. The Cheerful Spring. You incline carefree upon the root as the arm swings, striding. There is no movement, save sparkling rain and the dance of time-loved bluettes, a brief flicker of a candle's reflection, the conversation, yarrow, unshorn fields, buoyant, quickening, breath of God empties my wondering. Giant hyssop's soft surface rolls and fluctuates to the eye. Chilled shutter, bioluminescence, among alabaster heath aster, dark hollows of oak, boundless and beautiful, sweep over with their shadows and beneath, threaded scarves unwrapped past the prairie hawk, harvested eyes flap his broad wings, seemingly motionless. Two clouds in one fills the savannas with murmurings, exuberant windswept ridges toss. The bee, flaxen willows, adventurous colonist, myriads of insects dissect nature's cornflower blooming, pockets of alfalfa, dusted and thistles wild. Wisteria glows amongst fades of royal purple, wild strawberries encircling bloodroots thicket, pencil flora alone on a page. Dawning, tomorrow's horizon, cascading deep beneath the birth before words. The cardinal flies, surfing on the morning star, violet naively hiding from the rain. Yolks sunshine warm the corners, lilies flocks late spring morning, early shadows sipping tea, fresh dew, innocent buds of honeysuckle fragrance the air, orioles prolonged, surrounded ivories bergamot on damp blue-eyed grass, faces and rivers exposed the moon's midnight sage, milkweed invites to ignite from early copper twilights, wild ginger, flamed azalea, clinging like stardust, butterflies' wings to color the dark, lead plant, clovered saffron, pristine on iris bladed grass, iridescent blooms swayed to the zephyr, bluebells ode from the poet's quill, inks the papyrus, foxgloves pigmentation, hanging emerald necklaces, sweet peas embrace carrot, embedded apple blossoms, adolescent petals flap in blue-stem gusts, children skipping over puddles, thrushes habitat of warbling brooks, crepes chiffon stirring syrup air, meadowlarks play hopscotch, brushing the secret with every passerby. Grasslands swaying their sweetness carries sounds of wind-chimed nectar. Landscape's subtleties traced upon the chart by which we go. Floorboards shanty shack, grains weeded swept sweeps by and breaks my dream. Light-hearted in the wilderness alone, effervescence draping jar of fireflies. End of this beautiful, beautiful piece.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful read there, Lawrence. I love the imagery in this. It's such a beautiful celebration of spring all the way through. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, beautiful celebration indeed. And he makes it so playful, like, you know, there's so many stanzas that they're really stuck out to me, or wording, you know, threaded scarves on racked past a prairie hawk. And then you have the cripe chiffon steering syrup air, and, you know, the meadow larks playing hit hopscotch, brushing the secret with every passerby. And, so many other lines, my gracious, you know, even right down to the effervescence draping jar of fireflies. You know, there's just such a playfulness, like I said, throughout this whole rite. You know, like you said, Pam, a real celebration of spring here, like a song, you know, lyrics of a song being poured down the page. It's just so beautiful. And, you know, that was an awesome, awesome read there, Brother Wei Lahan. And, you know, just an amazing, amazing poem here. Bravo.
Absolutely. And I do have to agree. Wonderful comment. I do have three more poems, so I am going to limit comments, and I'm going to get one more. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, yes, beautiful. So many lovely flowers, and I love that. Colors and smells and all of nature was in this poem, and I really enjoyed it. Beautiful. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great comment. And up next we have In the Dandelion Garden by Shy Away, who is a new poet to me, so I'm glad to see a new name. And glad they were inspired. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please? Is Naomi on mute?
Yeah, I'm on mute, and I don't see the poem. I'm going to refresh the page. No, still don't see it. Come on.
Okay.
What's the matter?
Do you see the poem?
I don't see it either, no.
Wow. Let me make sure I put it in the right space. Yes, I did. Okay. Well.
I saw it.
All right. Well, I will go ahead.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, you found it.
There
okay.
It is. Yeah. It just popped up. Okay. In the Dandelion Garden, wispy strangers far but so close in proximity, there's melancholy aura. With the distant giggles in the silent night, the winter moths deliver the lost souls to spread in the nurturing grass. Become ingrained into the soil, a scattering of seeds to allow the little ones to explore the bottomless infinity. The moon is their guide to find wherever it is they could call the rebirth. The giggles become soft cries, for the lost could finally become no more. End poem.
Wonderful read, Naomi. What a beautiful write on the rebirth and growth of spring and even how life and death has, you know, life has its own cycles. Very well done. And Amy, your thoughts?
I really enjoyed this. It was very beautiful, right? I particularly loved the winter moth deliver the lost souls. I thought that was an amazing line. And to explore the bottomless infinity, I think it gives a very sort of timeless feel with both of those. So yeah, really well done.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Yeah, modern is a great way to describe this poem. It does have that feel. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll be quick because my phone is threatening to give up the ghost for the evening. Thankfully, it's almost over. Wispy strangers, far but so close in proximity, there's a melancholy aura with the distant giggles in the silent night. The winter moths deliver the lost souls to spread in the nurturing grass. I admire the image. So well delivered. So poetic. So artistic. Lovely piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. All right. And up next we have Nature Sanctuary by Archdoom DeVille. And Kate, would you give that a read for us, please?
I would be happy to. Just give me one moment. Nature Sanctuary. Okay. Deep in the woods, a dwelling tall and proud, a natural beauty like a cloud, a shroud. Wildflowers bloom in hues and shades arrayed. Nature's... Hello? Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm so sorry, I heard a click and I thought I'd been dropped. Oh, I apologize. Okay, but I'll carry on. Second stanza. The trees stand guard, a verdant emerald embrace, a mother's warmth, a safe, tranquil space. Birds sing melodies, deer frolic and play. Nature's symphony, a grand display. A hummingbird hovers, wings a blur, a miniature chopper, an adventurer. Squirrel collects nuts, tail of fur, nature's treasure hunter, a connoisseur. The abode blends in a natural fit, like a glove knit, a perfect permit. A haven of peace, tranquility radiates, a lullaby where the soul rejuvenates. Inhaling fresh, pure air, my spirit repairs, released from despair, as naturally, kindly shares, a grand design in perfect harmony, a puzzle piece in nature's symphony. My spirit thrives in nature's sweet embrace. New lives arise like a seed that knows its place. My soul at peace, my heart alive, like a butterfly taking a dive. With gratitude, I embrace this delight, a treasure, a sight so radiant and bright, a reminder of my place in nature's grand scheme, a gift, a blessing, like a beautiful dream.
A wonderful read there, Kate. And what a beautiful write by Archdeume Deville. I really get a sense, a real strong sense of love and respect for nature from this poem. As wonderful rhyme and flow. I really like his description of the hummingbird and the squirrel. That made me smile. A hummingbird hovers, wings a blur, a miniature chopper, an adventurer. Squirrel collects nuts, tails a fur, tail a fur. Nature's treasure hunter, connoisseur. Wonderful lines all the way through. And it really brings all of the scenery to life. So very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is so uniquely cleverly worded. You know, it's so creative and intelligently done, this piece, I find. And I was drawn to that same stanza as you were. The wordplay in it is just, you know, so delightful. And yeah, I agree. It is, you know, like a reverence to nature, this whole piece, like a kind of like a sacred prayer that his love for nature here. You really feel it glow through. So bravo, well written piece all the way done and all the way through, and very well done indeed.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I have to agree. Wonderful comment. All right, our last poem for the night is Nearly at Never End by Ben Hart. And it goes like this. My dear death, it's all right. We all get a bit lost sometimes. Take a breath and make it kind. Imagine lips that taste like lemon rind. My dear death, if you take my hand, I would welcome the decay. I once had a friend that used to say, coming home will never feel better than it will today. And I never did understand what she meant until I started running back the other way, back to hayfield by the seaside and lavender hills holding up drunk sunrise, where the inventor of time rightfully never left alive, where the cats pull wings off butterflies, scarecrows are all smiling. And dear death, so can you just promise me when I've led you back and we're nearly at never end, please don't leave me behind. I want to see my friend again. The old farm had folded in on itself like one of those old Hollywood sets in a black and white western, and only the rooks remained to dance on the graves of cruel house cats, but they didn't know it was the girl who was left they were welcoming back from the well where she had rid out the storm and the world that she had wandered behind the happy cherry door, and in the mist her grieving, the leaving a dream, she digs through the rubble and finds mother's lampshade on the floor, and in the mist of her self-pity, the orphan of atrophy and apathy that moved to the city herself, took up a job at a bookstore at the age of just 12, and every night she doesn't spend on sleep. She's just out looking for the well, telling herself one day she will return to Eve's world, the spark that she will birth another dawn and gladly leave the surface that never mourned her absence before. A lavender revolution against the winged bishop's reign. Count me in. And free us of the need to resist the bane of beauty and just let beauty be weaned then. End poem. And amazing lines here, just brilliant imagery and metaphors that speak on love and life and death and looking back. So very well done, Ben. And Amy, your thoughts on Ben's poem?
I thought this was a really great write. There's loads of amazing lines in there. Like some of the ones I really loved were Imagine Lips That Taste Like Lemon Rind, which has great imagery. And I loved the repeated my dear death in the first part of the vignette. I really loved Lavender Hills Holding Up a Drunk Sunrise. I thought that was brilliant. Where the cats pull wings off butterflies. the old farm had folded it in on itself, and also to dance on the graves of cruel house cats. So all of them are brilliant. But I loved all the lines, really.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. Absolutely. Great comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, this was absolutely lovely, wasn't it? It was, somebody was having fun, basically, just enjoying, just throwing those words at you and allowing you to enjoy them. It didn't seem as if there was any kind of hard work involved in construction. It was just so beautifully easy on the ear, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very, the imagery was wonderful as well. I don't really see things with my mind's eye for some reason, but this I could see, especially cats, pool wings of butterflies. I didn't know they did that. My goodness, that's a little bit barbaric. Anyway.
Yeah, I like that. So, excellent comment. Well, I have to say this has been a great show. Beautiful poetry, beautiful company. Thank you so much to all my Twisted Sisters. Thank you, Naomi and Weaver. Thank you, Lawrence and Amy, for calling in. Thank you to Jenny, Errant Panther, and Stelina for hanging on the board. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, was listening while we were on live, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all, and have a good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night.